To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our theme music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. On the show, you get the science fiction that I write and read. And we're into the adventures of Alibi Jones right now. Just started a new one, Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. We've got Chapter 3 on the way. I'll set up the situation for you, too, so if you haven't been listening or, you know, you forget from last week, I'll refresh your memory or set it up for you for the first time. A science fiction ghost story. A science fiction ghost story? Yeah, well, Hector Ruiz and the crew of his Free Trader had a ghost just appear on the bridge of their starship saying, "Don't let me die again!" But that's a long way from where Alibi Jones is right now. Of course, he wishes he was somewhere far away. Anywhere else, really. Because he just walked into a bar on the sprawling Ceres Central Colony station and discovered the news was out. Someone has finally pinned the destruction of Crime Lord Rene Lavalore's city, planet, Kismet, on Alibi Jones. Now, that could be good news. You might think it's good news, you know, take out a crime lord and his base, good. But no, way too many innocent people were killed, innocent beings of all different alien races and human races. Alibi feels the weight of the guilt over their deaths, you know, he does, and even though it was an accident. But he's, you know, been living quietly with his actions, contemplating the consequences of what he's done, and until now, he could. But that's a luxury that's gone now. The bar crowd on Ceres Central seemed friendly enough. At least initially. Find out how that news affects Alibi's immediate future in the bar, and of course his long-term outlook as well, as we get into Chapter 3 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. We'll get into the chapter in just a minute or two here. Wanted to let you know you can find all my books online. Audiobooks, ebooks, comic books. Just go to glowinthedarkradio.com. There are descriptions and links for everything there. You can also find me on the usual social media sites. On Instagram, just look for me as Glow in the Dark Radio. On Facebook and Twitter, I'm there under my own name. So after there.com, it's just / Mike Luoma, M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. Say hello. Let's be friends. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/ Glow in the Dark Radio. And as part of that, we have a Facebook group, Radio Activists. I'd like to invite you to join. My main website, you can get to by going to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. And that does have the links to everything else. What's cool is that you can listen to this podcast now on a ton of different services. So if you want to point your friends towards Glow in the Dark Radio, you can tell them they can listen wherever they listen to podcasts or anything, any music or whatever. Because we are now on Spotify. So you can find us on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn. Podomatic. That's my home base, the host website, podomatic.com. There's now Player FM. There's iTunes, of course. iTunes, Apple. They've been there forever. Podcasts. Found a few new ones. Castbox.fm and Pod Paradise. And Listen Notes. So There's always new ones adding the podcast, which is cool. Little bit of news before we get into the chapter. Did you know Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest has never been released as an audiobook? I just never got it together as an audiobook. Certainly not before podiobooks.com went away. And really, that process started in 2015. I know it actually went away in 2017, but yeah, this book was coming out, and by the time I got my act together, Podiobooks was kind of fading out. And its replacement, Scribble, is cool, but it's just not quite the same, you know? Anyway, it has been out as an ebook and a print book, but never released as a free downloadable podcast through podiobooks.com, so it's different that way from most of my books. Of course, you have been able to hear it on this podcast. I mean, really, you got to hear it in its, like, earliest form, as it was being revised. But now, yes, Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, the audiobook, is finally coming out. Should be out in the next week or so from Audible. So it'll be Audible, Amazon, and iTunes. We're about to hear chapter 3, but now if you don't want to wait week to week for the next chapter, well, pretty soon, you won't have to. In other news, remember, you only have until Tuesday, through Tuesday anyway, to take advantage of the two sales that are going on. You can get 25% off everything at Drive-Thru Comics, Drive-Thru Fiction as well. It's Drive-Thru's Christmas in July sale at drivethrucomics.com or drivethrufiction.com. And you can get 50% off all my ebooks at Smashwords as their summer-winter sale continues. Smashwords.com. Just search for MikeLuoma, Mike Luoma, on either site. Or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com or MikeLuoma.com and follow the links for the sales right there at the top of the page. Made a couple nifty little banners so you can just click and go. And that is all for news. Up next, we've got Chapter 3 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune in to Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Now, here's Chapter 3 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi stared wide-eyed at the bartender as the man explained how Alibi's world had just exploded. The other nets have been piling on. Lots of reports about you blowing Kismet up now, the man said. Surprised there aren't news crews swarming around you. Turn my wand's locator off, Alibi said. Didn't want to be found. For different reasons. Different reasons? The bartender asked. Stuff I gotta put behind me, Alibi said. Stuff that's not quite as pressing as this. He looked around the room again. Some people were still staring. He could feel it. With a quick decision, Alibi turned and made for the door. Where you going? The bartender called after him. Time for me to get lost, Alibi said. He bounced out of the bar. Hey! Alibi Jones! The bartender shouted after him. Alibi ignored the man. Probably already sending in news tips with my location, hoping for scoop money. Alibi jogged down the corridor towards the main concourse of Ceres Central. As he worked his way back towards his Aunt Anita's apartments, he pulled his wand from his jumpsuit pocket. He debated turning it on. If I do, they'll be able to track me down, find me. But if I don't, can't figure out what the hell is going on. Well, know enough about what's happening for now, really. Alibi decided to keep out of the public eye, to get behind closed doors before alerting the news media to his whereabouts. He put the wand away in its usual pocket, leaving it in dormant mode. Alibi's Aunt Anita had been the prime representative of the Solar Alliance for its first 20-odd years. After that, she was governor of Ceres Central. She'd recently retired from that job. Thanks to her high profile, her apartments on Ceres Central were built with extra security precautions in place, as well as several extra exits and entrances unknown to the general public and media outlets. Alibi made his way to one of those lesser-known entrances and ducked into the residence. He closed the door behind him and listened. Quiet. Seems like a clean getaway. He made his way down a special access corridor to a door that opened onto a regular hallway inside of the apartment and ducked through. Shutting the door behind him, Alibi paused, bracing himself to face his Aunt Anita. After a moment's stealing, he headed down the hall. "The shit has hit the fan, Alibi," his aunt said as he walked into her kitchen. "Shit hitting a fan, that's a lovely image," Alibi said. "Good to see you too, Aunt Anita." "It's an old expression," she said. "Means it's time to pay the piper." Alibi stared at his aunt, trying to figure out what she meant. "Who's the piper?"
"Kismet," she said. "The story broke this afternoon, and your name is all over it."
"Kiz?
Great. I just heard something about it from a bartender," he said. "Had my wand turned off."
"Good thing," she said. "Or they'd have used your locator, been all over you asking questions."
"But I made..." He started, paused. He thought about what to say for a moment, considered his words before he continued.
"This isn't my fault. Gotta try not to snap at her, though."
"I made reports," he said. "To the safe brass. They announced it was an accident." His temper got the better of him. "You made me do it," he said, raising his voice. "Told me which ones to report to, too." He was getting angry with her, which wasn't fair.
"It isn't her fault, either."
She glared back. His Aunt Anita raised him. Although he called her his aunt, she was more like his mother. She stared down Alibi with the sort of withering glance only a mother can give her child, scolding him with her silent glare.
"Sorry," he said, chagrined.
"Don't be," she said, relaxing. "I understand why you're angry, and you won't be sorry you filed those reports either, although one of them has to be the source of the leak, obviously."
"Obviously?" Alibi asked.
"The Kismet incident was originally reported as a freak accident with no one singled out. Though there were rumors of sabotage, of course," she said. "For them to change the story, now, to focus on you, means a leak. Someone talked. It's not likely that Dakur or Katie went to the media. You didn't. Lavalure is still missing. By process of elimination..." She let the implications hang.
"I see," Alibi said.
"Someone in the upper command is kissing the ass of the new prime rep," she pointed out.
"Oh. It makes sense. Except..."
"Well then, why shouldn't I be sorry I filed the reports?" Alibi whined. "You're telling me I gave them this info and they let it out."
"Because you've covered your ass, Alibi," she explained. "You told the people you were supposed to tell. The top safe brass had your report for more than 2 months and never saw fit to do anything. They can't do anything to you now without making themselves look culpable. Well, in theory."
"In theory?"
Anita didn't answer.
Instead, she looked at him with a strange mix of concern, anxiety, and consternation.
"Aunt Anita?" Alibi prodded when she didn't respond.
She looked him in the eyes. "Alibi," she said, "your life is about to change. Radically. Now that this news is out. I was hoping we could keep it under wraps longer, but there is a price to be paid, Alibi. You can't blow up a city, a world, and walk away unscathed."
"We did," Alibi said. "Well, except for Brady Thomas.
Poor man brought you there and you got him killed," she said.
She scolded his offhanded reference. "Think he did that for himself."
"Alibi."
Alibi frowned. He'd liked Thomas. The old con man had been a big help on Kismet.
"Lavalure said he'd bought Thomas out at the end. never believed that. At least, I don't think so.
Anita waited, watching him. I've been doing what I was supposed to. Laying low, like you told me, he said. It's been months. Fought a whole time war no one even remembers. Alibi shook his head. Seemed even his own memories of the time war were fading. What are you going to do? He asked her. What am I supposed to do? Me? She laughed. I'm not going to do anything. It's not me you have to worry about. I'd hoped this would blow over, but word was the new prime rep wanted your head. Now we see that's true. Who? Alibi asked. Nico Constantine Jr.? But why?
He's not a junior, she said. I know they call him that, but that little shit doesn't really deserve to use his great uncle's name.
How do you really feel, Aunt Anita? Alibi cracked.
I worked side by side with Nico Constantine getting the Solar Alliance started, she said. The real Nico Constantine, not this cheap imitation.
The real one's daughter doesn't like Junior either, Alibi said.
Electra has a right to be pissed, Anita said. This Nico is the grandson of one of her father's mistresses.
Oh, yeah, the bastard thing, Alibi said. Saw that on the news.
I still can't believe the Human Destiny Party won enough seats to build a majority coalition, Anita said, and elect him the prime rep. She sniffed. He sullies the office.
She darkened.
But so why is he after me? Alibi asked her, confused. He's one of those people who gains power by tearing other people down, making other people his scapegoats, she said. He rallies followers to his cause by creating villains.
She shook her head.
This is, in a way, my fault, she said, but only because I've made myself unassailable to the man and his political machine.
Your fault because he can't attack you personally? Alibi said.
I don't buy that. Perhaps fault is the wrong word, she said. But that is the cause of it. The jerk can't make me out to be a villain, so he's going after you. You're like my son. They know I love you and think this neutralizes me through you, by making you the bad one.
I'm a villain? Alibi asked. Little old me? He tried to joke.
Yes, little old you are a mass murderer and a world destroyer, according to the new Nico, Anita said. He included a reference to you and Kismet in a speech he just made. Amazing how quickly this went down. It all blew up in the last hour, but clearly they've had it in the works. Obviously planned. Made it clear where the leak came from, anyway. He has a bully pulpit now that the election is over and he's the prime rep. You should hear him.
Here, she said, turning on the feed.
Now on Newsnight, highlights of Prime Rep Nico Constantine's speech this afternoon at the Solar Alliance Assembly, after the vote to strike down the cyborg modification laws.
This rollback of outdated laws that stymie human progress is just the beginning of the changes we in the Human Destiny Party mean to bring. We need to advance the cause of all humanity. I may have a famous name, Nico Constantine said. That doesn't mean I should get any special privileges. Matter of fact, I never did, coming from what my dear cousin likes to call the bastard branch of the family.
Constantine flashed his now trademark grin. Some might call it a sneer.
We have had far too much family favoritism and nepotism in the Solar Alliance, he continued. When I'm challenged by the old guard on my ideas of expanding the Solar Alliance by loosening some of the archaic restrictive laws of past generations, I cannot help but think that for some, the rules inside of the Solar Alliance are different already. Look at the case of one Alibi Jones, Constantine said. He grinned again. Practically the son of Prime Rep Anita Cavatuna, and the illustrious scion of everyone's favorite assassin, Bernard Campion. Jones's behavior has been excused despite the fact he was responsible for the deaths of hundreds of innocent tourists of different races, and widespread property destruction, on Kismet last year.
She turned off the feed and looked at Alibi.
Wow, Alibi said. That's not good.
Nope.
What can I do?
Well, she began, you won't be able to stay in the Mediation Corps.
No?
Kind of impossible given Kismet, she said. Once you're known for blowing up planets, you lose the ability to be trusted as a negotiator, she said with a wry grin and a touch of sarcasm. But there are other branches of the interplanetary force. Although my political power appears to be dwindling, I still have some friends in high places, and I have been speaking with some of them about your future, just in case. I've made contingency plans for you. Had to. You don't know the sort of shark-infested waters you're swimming in, Alibi. Also had a feeling this new bunch would be trouble. It is politicians we're talking about, Alibi said. More like swimming with the Keeklik in their crap, he said, referring to the aquatic aliens known for excreting wastes in public. Alibi, his aunt said, disapproval in her tone stopping him from going further. He smiled a sort of half-smile. Thank you for looking out for me, Aunt Anita, he said. I do appreciate it. Don't always show it, I know. Not a fan of people helping me, but I think I might need it this time. What am I in for? A brand new assignment, she said. One far away from our new bastard prime rep, if things work out as I hope. That sounds cool, Alibi said, cheering up a little. Don't be so sure, she cautioned. Then she softened and smiled a small, concerned grin. Why don't you go lie down for a while? Grab a couple hours of sleep. I need to make some calls. Should have some news for you by the time you wake up.
Hector Ruiz sat alone on the bridge of the Libra Campista. He'd sent the rest of the crew off to their cabins when they'd finally gotten out of the range of the danger. He couldn't get the sight of the ghostly astronaut out of his head. Could still hear it pleading with him.
Don't let me die again!
Hector pulled the Libra Campista up alongside the Libra Campista de Dos. He'd tracked her down in a distant orbit around Depot.
Hector, you there?
Bob Bond's voice called out from the comm. I'm here, Bobby, Hector said.
You all right?
Bond asked.
You sound weird.
When Hector didn't answer, Bond continued.
You're back here pretty quick. Everything work out okay at that wreck?
Not really, my friend, Hector said.
You were right, Bobby. There's something not right about that thing. Began to feel that even before we saw the ghost.
Ghost?
Got a hell of a story to tell you, Bobby, Hector said.
A hell of a story.
But first we've got to explain to Bill Gentry why we didn't meet his ships at the rendezvous when we were supposed to, eh?
Yeah,
Bond said.
Been thinking about that.
He never likes it when folks are late on payments.
Dues, Bobby. How many times? Call them dues, man. Gentry hates them being called payments. You know that.
Right, Bond said. Just a little shook.
Well, don't make that mistake with Gentry when you call.
Me? I gotta make the call?
Your turn, Bobby. Your turn to tell the Godfather why we didn't meet his people out near that nebula like we were supposed to. Besides, I've got my own chore.
What are you going to do? Bond asked.
Believe it or not, I'm going to call in that thing we saw out there, Bobby, Hector said. Actually file a report with the Solar Alliance on Depot. See what they say when I tell them we saw a ghost out in deep space.
Alibi slept and surfed the void. Empty. Vacuum. Absence. Wait. Not entirely empty. One mass. A crackling coalescence of energies. Existence without substance, lacking sustenance as well, craving all. The hunger, self-created, formless entity, a hateful, roiling stew of bioelectrical energies. The hunger approached Alibi, a lone mass of want in the midst of limitless nothing. In his transitive state, half asleep, Alibi observed the energies. He felt their oddly undefined hunger reach for his mind. The feeling, the grasping, reminded him of Azumet's grasping for his mind and psyche long ago. The ancient enemy scientist tried to probe Alibi, take over his mind, but Alibi was able to block him and kept him out. This time, instead of waiting for the attack, Alibi concentrated on going to the source, past its grasping, into the mass, into the hunger itself. As he plunged into its energies, Alibi filled with knowledge. The hunger
was what remained of the innumerable mixed-up matrices of the elite of the people, called by some the ancient enemy, flung forward in time but cheated of form by the failure of Chief Scientist Azimut's machinations. Azimut failed, and this mass of needful energy was the result. Alibi continued to learn their plight as he moved through the hunger. He couldn't turn their shared mental anguish off. The energy screamed to be heard, to communicate, to complain of their plight. The new bodies they were to have occupied were killed as they came forward into this new time, their far future. With their receptacles dead, their destinations denied, all the energies attempted to possess the only form left, Azimut's, but that one far too limited body burned up. After that, only their energies remained, drawn into each other, becoming the insatiable hunger. Though the hunger occasionally came across morsels, promising bits of biomatter that offered possible hosting, potential bodies, all so far had proven both inadequate and quickly consumed. Alibi sensed a taste of lava lure in his men.
So that's what happened to them.
The hunger continued to search and devour.
And what is this now?
Alibi heard the loud thought.
Uh-oh, I've been noticed. It sensed me.
Alibi pulled back from the mass and pictured an image in his mind.
Double doors!
The metaphorical doors in his mind closed, blocking out the hunger.
It worked!
Bam! Alibi's head resounded like a bell, the double doors ringing in his mind as if struck by a giant mallet. The hunger wanted in. Alibi pictured the doors being thicker, reinforced.
Bam!
The doors shook with another strike, but only trembled. Alibi waited for another blow.
Nothing.
They didn't ring out again. Alibi shook himself out of the dream trance. He sat up in bed.
Was that real? It felt real enough. Could Azimut really have failed?
Alibi rolled over and tried to get back to sleep. He tossed and turned for a while longer, but it wasn't happening. Too restless and churned up by the day's events and the dream, Alibi got up, giving up on the nap. He decided to take another walk to relax and try to think. The astral encounter with the hunger of the ancient enemy had shaken him more than he wanted to admit. He really wasn't thinking. The media were waiting for him as he walked out of his aunt's apartments.
Do you have a statement?
What?
A statement for the media about Kismet.
Why did you blow up the planet, Alibi Jones?
Do you deny you're a mass murderer?
Alibi looked uncomfortable.
I'm not sure what to say. Does that mean you admit to the charges?
Charges? What charges?
Alibi Jones!
No comment!
That was Chapter 3 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
No comment!
Shit is hitting the fan for Alibi Jones. Sounds like Hector and company could face some real-world consequences from their ghostly encounter, too. And Alibi has encountered the hunger. What's left of the elite of the ancient enemy. Now just a mass of disembodied consciousnesses. Now with no form. They're hungry for form, substance, and sustenance. The hunger.
And we're just getting started. Alibi Jones just hit the wall of media. Hope you'll come back for Chapter 4. We'll pick up right where we left off, right there, on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder, you have through this Tuesday to take advantage of the two sales that are going on. Get 25% off all my comic books and ebooks at DriveThru. That's drivethroughfiction.com and drivethroughcomics.com. Just search for Mike Luoma there, or go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. Follow the links at the top of the page. And the other sale that's going on is 50% off all my ebooks
So I'd say if you want ebooks, go to Smashwords. That's the other one. Comics, head over to drivethroughcomics.com, get them 25% off. Ebooks, 50% off through Tuesday as the summer winter sale wraps up at Smashwords.com. That's the independent ebook store Smashwords, where all my stuff is at least 50% off through Tuesday. And remember, too, the book that you're listening to, Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, is about to come out as an audiobook for the very first time. I'll let you know if that happens next week and where you can get it. That is all for this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.